get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming man who infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
I just can't get over this list of things that people have left in Ubers over the last year.
I mean, you have been talking about it on for days, actually. Okay.
Because, you know, I started thinking about it because I've been obsessed with my Uber rating lately. I have a 4.97.
The highest as a passenger. Five.
As a passenger.
I have never looked at mine, to tell you the truth. I have no idea what my Uber rating is.
Give me your phone. I'll tell you right now.
Okay.
Give it to me. Out of all my ratings, three people gave me a 4 out of instead of a 5.
What? I mean, how could you be a better passenger?
I don't know. I don't let people, if I get in an Uber, I don't eat a single thing or drink a single thing, and I don't let anybody with me eat or drink.
I wouldn't do that either. That
right.
Seems gross.
I make sure that I never slam a door. I do it gently.
Mm-hmm.
I overthink them. I do all the things to get a good rating.
Yeah, I mean, I say hello. I say thank you for the ride after. I don't do much talking with them unless they're talking with me.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I'm in my phone, or if I'm catching a ride in an Uber, it's usually early or late in the day.
Do you know my husband won't let me look at his rating, and I think that he has a bad one, and I don't know why. He won't let me look to see what
is
it
that
is.
Right?
I think it's wild. So I have a 4.94.
Okay.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, what do I have?
Well, you have to wait because I have to re-download it. When's the last time you used an Uber?
Probably forever ago. I'm more of a Lyft guy, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
Does Lyft have ratings? Check my Lyft.
This is downloading right now. But anyway, this past weekend, if you missed it, they had the first ever pop-up. It happened in New York City, and it was called the Uber Lost and Found pop-up. So they had games, and when you won something that somebody had left in an Uber.
Yeah.
And there was crazy stuff. There was a urinal. There's two mattresses. There is, a DNA testing kit, a unicycle. I mean, how do you get out of an Uber and you forgot Cornish hens?
People that like to unicycle, they love it. It's a passion of theirs, Anna.
10 live lobsters? Didn't you go somewhere to get the lobsters and you're Ubering back home because now it's time for you to cook the lobsters?
That's pricey.
That's a lot of money in lobsters.
Yeah, that's a lot of lobster money right there.
Somebody left their divorce papers in their Uber.
Well, that I could understand.
Maybe you're like, forget it.
Once you've signed it, once you've gone to court, that part of it's over. You don't need to keep that memento.
I can look at this list for hours.
I wonder if those lobsters were stolen. You know, as an old person now, I read the arraignments in my local, website from the government website.
I can't believe that's a real thing.
One of the biggest items that is stolen from the grocery store, lobster and shrimp.
Really?
Oh, yeah. At least three people have put it down their pants in the last month.
Has somebody lost a mannequin head with human hair? Because according to this, yep, they left it in an Uber.
Found it.
Yep. All right. Let's see here. You have a 5.0.
Oh, on Lyft?
Yes. No, on Uber.
I am so awesome. I am the best passenger.
Hold on. I'm going to find out. This doesn't seem right.
I beat you.
How can that be possible?
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm the best.
Have you ever used Uber before?
Absolutely.
Think so.
I mean, I got the rating somehow.
Well, you start with a 5.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
Three news stories. You only hear about one. Raven picks which one it is. Quite a selection today, Raven.
Yeah, I got the juice. What is it?
Number one, teens attack Easter Bunny at mall. Number two, pallbearers plunge into burial hole while carrying casket.
You know what? I have been in that position plenty of times and worried that it was going to happen. It's slippery around there. We should do better.
If you haven't seen the video yet, go watch it. And number three, foster mom may traded kid for a monkey.
Oh, come on now. All right. Everybody knows monkeys are not responsible pets. You know what? Let's go with the teen.
That's what you thought was wrong? with that story?
Yes. Teens attack. Let's go with that.
All right. Three teenagers are facing charges for attacking the Easter Bunny at a mall in Naples, Florida on Sunday.
Oh, thank God it was only like three of them. I thought it was going to be like 30 or 500, one of those flash mobs.
Three is enough.
Yeah.
They started out by pushing and shoving and pulling on the Easter Bunny's outfit.
That is not nice.
Of course, this was not the real Easter Bunny. The real Easter Bunny is very busy this time of year. So this was somebody dressed as the Easter Bunny to take mall photos.
Hop little bunnies, hop, pop, pop.
Yep.
Pop little bunny, hop, pop, pop.
Not this bunny.
My favorite song.
This bunny was running as fast as they could to get away from these three teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the lieutenant talking about the incident.
They're following her back to where her staging area is, tugging on her, pushing on her, pulling on, trying to pull the costume apart. Simply put, it's an unprovoked attack, just like what it sounds, on someone trying to spread joy in the lives of youth.
Yep.
You know, as we enter the holiday season of Easter.
Right.
Arrest them for assault, my friend.
Well, it's...
Thank you, officer.
But the big question is why? And with teenagers, I feel like you can never ask that question because it doesn't make any sense. And then if you think back when you were a teenager and the dumb things you did, you're like, oh yeah, all right.
No, it's true.
He continues.
How these three individuals came to the conclusion to act this way is kind of mind-boggling.
Hoodlums, dumb. That's the answer.
What would
that.
Jesus do?
Well, probably not beat up the Easter Bunny,
no,
would be
that's
my
true.
Guess.
Right. Concentrate on the resurrection and so forth, right?
Here's one of the bystanders that saw what happened.
Okay.
There's no point, guys. Don't do that to the bunny. The bunny did nothing to no one.
Mm-hmm.
Go run around the park or something. Or
yeah.
You know what? Did you defend the bunny?
Yeah.
That person should have defended the bunny. I mean, his heart is in the right place, but what did you say at the moment, sir?
Yeah, you come to the bunny's rescue at that point.
Okay.
I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
The Easter Bunny costume has to be the worst costume to have to defend yourself in.
Well, it's not very aerodynamic. So, I mean, you're catching wind. So that's going to slow you down, number one.
And it's just big and heavy everywhere. Because I was thinking about it. Now, you know, of course, the real Santa Claus is busy making toys. So there's a lot of people that sometimes dress as Santa, that they're his helpers.
I mean, I know how it works, Anna. Thanks for explaining.
Okay. But what if Santa Claus is a toy? I'd rather be Santa and have on the baggy pants and be able to see through with my face and not through
But Santa's not known for his cardio. Like, it's you know what I mean? So, I mean,
but he's so flexible the way he can get down the chimney.
I got some options for you.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Superhero. First off, if the goal is to just simply elude and run away, then you want something that's like, you know, slick and close to your body, like the Flash or like Captain America, something like that.
And those come with weapons.
Yeah.
So if teenagers try to attack you,
drop the weapons and run. I mean, if you're running, you're running.
Oh.
Like, you're not, but I like where your head's at. Fight or flight.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, if you're Tinkerbell,
fight
you use
flight.
That wand, you turn right around. You're like, what, kids? You see this wand?
Do you remember how large Tinkerbell is? She's not very big. If you're going to turn and fight, though, if it's going to be a fight or flight thing and you've decided running is out of the option, how about some padding in the ability to push your mass around like the Kool-Aid guy or like the Michelin Man?
Smart.
All right? Bam!
Right.
You take them right out.
No teenagers are going after the Michelin Man.
They're just bouncing right out the door at that point.
Yep.
Bye.
What do you think it feels like to be 7'9"? Do you think that it's something you want to be?
I've thought about this before as far as, like, I'd want to be an NBA player for, like, a week. You know what I mean? Just to be that tall, to be that strong and big and all that stuff. And, you know, usually, hopefully, I'd want to be an NBA player, as I said, so athletically gifted. So, yeah, to be that tall and athletically gifted would be awesome. To be that tall and not be gifted, I don't know.
Yeah.
If I can be real.
So one of the most shared moments from the NCAA championship game was when one of the members of the Gators.
Yeah.
He is 7'9".
Okay.
He's a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Oliver Roux. Am I saying that right?
Probably not, but whatever.
He's from Quebec, so it's like French, you know? So
yeah.
It's like, right. He holds a Guinness record right now for being the world's tallest teen. And when they were cutting down the net.
Yeah, typically you go out there on a ladder.
They didn't need a ladder. He didn't need a ladder. He just reached up and cut it down. And I mean,
that's crazy. That's so big.
I've been watching all these videos of him because you get kind of trapped in the warp. And
of course, he
towers over Shaq. Like when you think of it that way, he towers over Shaq. That's how tall he is, 7'9". Wow.
How tall is his girlfriend?
I don't know.
Like three feet?
Well, that's what I was thinking. So I always wonder, would you rather be super tall or would you rather be super short?
Well, I mean, as a guy, I can answer that 100% unequivocally, you would rather be tall than short.
You think so?
Yes, I know so.
But then every time somebody sees a super tall person and I am 100% guilty of doing this.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, you're tall.
Yeah, do you play basketball?
Do you play basketball?
You talk to them like they're a circus freak.
Right.
Right, it's not cool.
No, of course not.
And, no, I get it.
Yeah, and then when you see somebody very short, you don't say anything. And being a short person myself, well, I'm 5'2".
No, if you see a super short guy, people do say something.
But that's not nice.
It's not nice to say anything in any of these situations.
Right.
With your observations. But I think that, right, when somebody is larger, it's more widely accepted or people think that it's a thing that's okay to say. But ask a tall person and I don't think that they think it's okay.
They asked Oliver this question and I was like, good question.
Where do you buy your clothes?
I shop online. I get a lot of stuff from Deep because like gear and stuff, which helps me a lot because like finding a 2XL out there is impossible.
Finding a 2XL? You're 7'9". It's got to be more than a 2XL.
I'm sorry, the guys that are so tall. There's something about their voice always too. Like they sound like a giant.
Well, that's
they're talking you from up high.
That's what I was. So when I was like really deep diving him and researching, so many people referred to him as a giant, and I was thinking, is that a derogatory term? If you're this teenage kid. Like, do you want to be called a giant?
I mean,
do you take pride in that? Or no.
At least he's talented at basketball. So, I mean, the thing is, like, I see a tall person, and one of the biggest assumptions that I always made forever was, like, you play basketball, right?
Mm.
And there's no indication whatsoever that that person is athletic or they do.
If you see somebody that's very short, you don't say, you're a jockey, right?
No.
You ride horses. No, like, you don't do that. So why do we do it for basketball?
But I think we've just got some insight into your mind to what it is.
Jockeys have to be very small to ride the horses.
If you see somebody that short, do you expect them to be dressed in like white with the pastel stripes there? Like, wow.
Maybe.
Just always wearing a helmet. That's not. This is all wrong. Yep. We shouldn't have done this.
No. Can we talk about plastic surgery yet? Or is it still one of those real hush-hush things like, oh, she had done. Oh, I had that done. Don't tell anybody.
I think that it's a personal thing for every person, right? Some people, they're totally happy to share, and other people are like, no, they don't want anybody to know. They just want people, you know, when they run into them, to think that they're holding up great, or they look better than ever.
It's so weird to me.
Yeah.
Because, okay, so people in the U.S. are getting more plastic surgery than ever before, with cosmetic procedures up 5% in the last 2 years.
So you think that's about the availability? You think that they see the job, the work, as being better at this point, and they're less fearful? I mean, I think all those things probably play into it.
I think it's become so much more common.
I had a friend, a very good friend. I mean, he's a very good friend. I don't talk to him all that often because we don't live in the same state anymore at this point. But we lived together for a while. But he had a nose job, and he always contended that he had a nose job because he had a deviated septum. And it's true. He had a deviated septum, I'm sure. But he also got this ball removed from his nose when he did that. Right. And then he had this super slick nose after that. I don't know why he didn't want to talk about it. Pretty sure he had hair work done, too.
Just
tell me, bro. Where are you hiding the hair?
Well, it's one of the weird things about it is that it still seems to be one of those things that people don't really talk about. Mm. But I think that's changing because the younger generation, Gen Z, so that's between the ages, if you were born between 1997 and 2012, they're getting in on it, too. And they're getting more plastic surgery than ever. And I started doing some deep diving.
Okay.
I was wondering, I'm like, well, what are they getting done? Botox. Botox for years was one of those things where nobody admitted to doing it.
Yeah.
I get Botox.
Everybody talks about getting it now.
But,
like they get it for all sorts of different treatments,
of course,
too. But now, like, you make jokes about when you've had Botox in the last couple days. You're like, I can't move my face today.
I leave meetings early because I have to go get my Botox. I announce it at my meetings. I'm like, guys, I got an appointment. I got to go.
You're a hero. Thank you so much for
welcome.
Confessing and putting it out there in the world.
I don't understand why.
You're definitely going to heaven now.
But
I get what you're saying.
Has been so much more mainstream.
Yeah.
But nobody still talks about the big plastic surgery things like breast augmentation, which is the number one surgery in America that people get.
I feel like more people admit that now than they used to. But I also feel like the realistic results that people are going for are different too. You know, I mean, plenty of people were like, I'm going to get this work done, or after they're like, what do you think? It's more so than others. I think that's more than a facelift. I think you'll definitely get more people being like, yes, I'm going to get my breasts done. Then they're going to be like, I'm going to have a facelift.
One of my good friends always talks about wanting to have a facelift, but she can't afford it. We have this conversation once a week.
Wow.
And she was sitting at a nail salon and she was, of course, telling her manicurist she wants to have a facelift, but can't afford it.
She's sharing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, That's my B. That's my bestie. Yeah. And the woman to the right of her, she said to her, she goes, she looked at her manicurist and she said, do we have the same friends? And the manicurist said no.
Yeah.
And she immediately went into talking about her facelift.
Nice.
And when she had it done, the doctor she used in the next town over that was really affordable.
Yeah.
And I was like, why can't we just have these normal conversations? Why does it have to be so hush-hush, you know?
Well, I think that was very fearful, too. It's like, you never know what was going to happen on the other side.
Yeah.
Right? You don't know good or bad. So if you're looking at somebody and you're like, you look fantastic. What did you do? And they list a bunch of items. Then I think you'd be like, you know what? I could take those items. Those would work for me.
The Brazilian butt lift, you can't hide that. We know. There's no reason. You are not born with that.
Mine's natural.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
More people than ever are getting work done. Even the younger generation, Gen Z, is getting work done.
Yeah, I would love to get on a plane and fly to Turkey and get like a beautiful, beautiful flowing mop of hair here.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah. Walter Goggins, though, he's bringing the receding hairline up right now. That White Lotus finale. Mm-hmm. People are talking about him. They love him.
Okay. But if you've had work done, do you openly talk about it now? And what did you get done? Trisha.
So I haven't had anything too intense. I mean, I've had my teeth whitened, straightened, and shaped, and then I've had laser to remove blood vessels from my nose. But I have lots of friends who've gotten plastic surgery, and I mean, it's probably a matter of time before I get something done.
So what do you think about that? Do you think it's weird that so many people are secretive about it?
I do, and I think it's unhealthy, actually.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you're trying to protect vanity. I mean, it's the way we were taught forever. But if you're ashamed of something, I don't know, right?
Is it something really good for you
if you're ashamed to tell people about it? I don't know, right?
Well, I think it's not good to be so closed about it,
right?
Because I think that gives people unrealistic beauty standards, especially young girls. So if you're open, oh, no, I definitely had this work done, then they know, oh, okay, I shouldn't look like that right away.
That's a really good point, the more openly you talk about it, the more that younger girls understand that measures were taken. Mm. This wasn't a natural thing that just happened. Like, there's aging involved, too.
I was scrolling through something the other day, and I saw it was something about Denise Richards' podcast or something like that, and that Charlie Sheen had stopped by, and he had just had a neck lift. And I was like, who needs a neck lift? How ridiculous.
Oh, my gosh. I would love a neck lift.
I saw it before and after, and I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a pretty good-looking neck he's got going on there now.
You know, one of my best girlfriends is in plastics, and every time I see her, I go, you see this? How it's right underneath my chin.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it got wrinkly.
Oh, you want to lift that?
I want to go like this. I'm like, can't you just Botox it or something?
Right.
And she's like, no, that's like surgery. I'm like, there is nothing else we can do besides surgery to fix that.
All right. Like, how quick is this surgery? Can we do this now at dinner? Right.
Well, and that's another thing, is if you talk about it, then your social circle can compare surgeons so you can help get advice about getting the best doctor.
Also a good idea.
Right. I've seen some terrible looking lips.
Oh, my. The lips is the worst. Yeah. It's the worst.
If it's done poorly, it is.
Leave them alone.
I'm afraid of. I don't mess with my lips.
Mm.
They're tiny and that's the way they're going to be.
Linda, how about you? Are you open talking about plastic surgery? Are you open with plastic surgery?
I would if I could afford to get any. And listen, let me tell you, I think I'm perfect the way I am, but I have a very long list of surgeries I will get if I ever become rich. If I'm ever suddenly rich,
top
entire
three.
Body is getting done.
Top three.
Top three
rich.
Things you want done. You're rich.
Top three things. Facelift, neck lift, hair transplant.
The neck is real hot right now.
Everybody wants their neck done. Me too.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, we got to get a plastic surgeon to tell me how to fix my turkey neck.
Why don't we just get one in here to do it for us?
No.
Do it during the show.
I get scared.
And we could trade it.
Yeah, we could trade it.
But I honestly think if you have the money and that's what you want to do, you should do anything you can do to make yourself happy.
I agree with that.
Totally.
Yep.
If you feel like it's going to be fulfilling, absolutely. I hope you get the result you're looking for, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you feel that way, that's absolutely what we want, right?
Hair transplant, I don't know anything about. I'm going to Google that after the show.
You could do your eyebrows, too.
Oh, no, my eyebrows are fine. I can just pencil those in. It doesn't take very long. That is the sound of a bunch of college kids in Canada that were trapped in a house for days because two angry geese had taken over their street.
Let me ask you something. Have you ever met a pleasant geese? Goose. Whatever.
No.
Because they're very orny.
Yeah.
They're very angry.
They're very, very angry animals. they're not alone. A lot of them are super angry. Here's one of those kids that was trapped in the house.
Close to a week now. We can't even leave our house. It's crazy. We never thought this would happen. Just thought there were two geese. And all of a sudden, now the dad is angry. He's flying at everyone. Old people, kids, us.
These geese don't discriminate.
I saw the video. It's absolutely magical. They knocked this one woman over. Another one, they're throwing their groceries as they're running for their life for the front door. I mean, these are grown people, too. Like, dude, turn around, all right? Stand up for yourself.
I want to see you get attacked by a goose and see what you do.
Ironically, one of the best stories ever told, all right? My sister. I love my sister. Dear, dear girl. Very sweet young lady.
Today's National Siblings Day, so you have to be nice to her.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay. Well, this is great because her birthday's coming up in 2 days, too. Happy birthday, sis, while I tell this story. So we used to go to a friend's house. They had like a farm area. My mother had like a hippy-dippy friend when, you know, back in the day. And they had like a farm with various creatures there. And it always was terrifying for me because the dogs were big and I didn't know what a llama or an alpaca was. And they had geese. And geese are aggressive, as we've covered. But I could have had a future in the NFL, Anna, because I came around the house one time, and that goose was hot on my tail, ready to take me out. And there was my baby sister going the other direction, and I just ran a juke. I thought I was going to go right, and then I changed my mind. I went left, and then I went right again, and the goose was thrown off, and the goose ran right into my sister and bit her on the face.
Oh, my gosh.
And I escaped unharmed.
Okay.
It was magical, really, honestly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So these people that were stuck in the house.
Yeah, poor.
We've also poor just people. Been sitting at our window in our living room just watching these geese attack people all day long.
At least it's giving them some entertainment.
Right.
Yeah.
The video's amazing.
Yeah. My car's been swarmed by wild turkeys. That was terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
And my husband's been attacked by a peacock, which also was not a fun thing because I was like, you can't kick it. You can't kick the peacock.
You know, my nightmare is the monkeys, right? Like you're going through Six Flags or anything like that. And they get on your car and then they just decide they're going to like rip your windshield wipers off.
Yeah.
And like open the doors. Like, I mean, they're monkeys. They got hands. They can get in there.
All right. Moving on. Raven, let's play Guess This Sound.
Okay.
You probably haven't heard it in a while. Do you know what that is?
I don't know what that is.
That is the Windows 95 reboot sound.
Oh, okay.
30 years ago that came out, and it was just added to the National Recording Registry. How that works is you can nominate anything that you think should be nominated to go into the National Recording Registry, and they just announced the winners.
Okay.
Over 2,600 were nominated. Also, maybe you have a better shot with this one.
Hick Road.
Elton John's Yellow Brick Road made it. Also, Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On. Amy Winehouse's Back to Black. The entire Broadway production of Hamilton.
Okay.
And I was surprised to hear this one. And I don't think you'll know it, but I bet you if you're a kid listening right now, you might.
I don't know what that is.
The entire soundtrack to Minecraft was put in. Did you? And when I listened to the sound,
like the bar might be a little bit low on this national economy, but okay.
It is an amazing orchestra. I was listening to it. I go, no wonder why kids are smart.
Okay.
I was listening to it. I was like, this is beautifully composed. You could spend an entire day just listening to the Minecraft theme songs.
I doubt that that's something I'll do, but okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
What's the longest you've been single and why? Actor Val Kilmer passed away last week, and a quote from his memoir that's been circling around a lot since he passed says, "I haven't had a girlfriend in 20 years. The truth is, I'm lonely part of every day." That's sad, right? Yeah. The 20 years? I mean, he was a heartthrob.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he dated everybody.
Yes.
Yeah, he dated Cher. He dated
Cindy Crawford.
Yeah.
Cindy Crawford's, I think, destroyed his marriage. I think he had an affair with her, right? Something like that?
I'm not sure. Yeah. But, I mean, Cindy Crawford shows up, I guess. And you're Val Kilmer. I don't know how that worked out, but he was a fantastic actor and definitely a very unique individual, no question about it.
But to think about not having a girlfriend, not being in any relationship for 20 years, and there's plenty of single people out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would say that a lot of them are lonely. More men than women are lonely when they're single. They just did all these stats that I read earlier today. And it says that there are more single women now than ever by choice. Mm-hmm. Women have chosen that they'd rather not be in a relationship because it's become more mainstream to buy properties on your own, to have children on your own. And they said, I don't need no guy. I'm not lonely. I'll spend more time with my friends.
Yeah, but not needing somebody is not the same thing as, you know, lacking for a sense of company or
right.
companionship or whatever that may be.
But it got us thinking, like, who's been single a very long time and why? Was it by choice or was it by a different reason?
I have a friend who's he's been a serial single dude for, I mean, he's a year older than me at this point, or 2 years older than me. And he looks great, and his house is paid for, and the cars are paid off, got a convertible, all those things, vacations 5-6 times a year. You know, in the last year, he started to say to me things about being single. Out of like the corner of his mouth.
Like he doesn't want to be?
Well, all the women have been like, you know, trying to get him fixed up with somebody over the years and whatnot. And he's always laughed it off and shoved it aside. And you know, recently he said things to me about, you know, like, you know, just kind of spending the rest of his life alone or whatever. And I told him, listen, there's an easy solution for this. Just wait for one of your friends to die and marry their wife, because we're all going to need, you know, somebody to take care of them.
But, what a,
you know,
weirdo thing to say. What a weirdo thing to say.
I'm just saying, like, he's...
So if you drop dead, you're cool with him marrying Alicia?
Listen, if I drop dead tomorrow, my wife is a young woman, much younger than me. I mean, that's a pretty large conversation, you know.
You brought it
up. Wow. I did not bring that up. That is not the question I did. I just said that he's recently expressed to me that he wants to do it. And that's
okay.
That's what I told him, though, in response.
What? So weird.
I didn't say me. I was like, just wait for one of us.
One of the front. Not my wife. You can marry somebody else's wife, not mine.
Wow.
Diana, how long have you been single, Diana?
I've been single now for 5 years. I mean, dating has changed so much with all the acronyms and the lingo and things like that. And I don't even understand the whole online dating thing. So I'm just like, this is just way too much for me. So I'm like, yeah, dating is just not my thing right now.
I could see that if you're not into online dating. And I know plenty of people that aren't. And it's, they don't really understand how to do it. They're not comfortable putting their information on the internet. It can be hard because so many people that's just the way they meet others now.
When I was younger, it was like, if you weren't dating somebody for years, it was strange, you know, like consistently not dating or whatever. And you know what? I don't think that it was healthy, that there was always this pressure to be dating or being in something. Right. Like you could be perfectly happy on your own for a while. And then something comes along. Yeah. I do feel like it's changed.
Obviously, because we're talking about it.
Never got exposed to it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So if you've been single for a long time, how long has it been and why? And are you happy? How long have you been single and why? And most importantly, are you happy? Val Kilmer passed away last week and everybody's been talking about his memoir because there was a quote from it saying he had been single for the last 20 years and he was lonely.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he also had days where he was like, I'm glad that I'm not in something, but that's sad.
But on the flip side, there's a new study that's out that says women are more single now than ever and they're happier than ever because of it.
Mm.
So why are you single and are you happy? Holly.
I have been single 6, almost 7 years now.
Now, why have you been single?
I don't know. I go out and I've met people. I don't know if it's the quality of people or, you know, I do a lot for myself. And I don't get the feeling that some of these guys want to step it up. So, yeah. And then I also believe it's the online dating. I think if you get into a fight with your partner or, you know, it's been a while and things are boring, you know, they could get on these apps and at the swipe of a finger, you know, they have all these options.
So let me just ask you, Holly, because, I mean, number one, I applaud people who are like, I'm not going to do this because it doesn't measure up to my standard or what it is that I'm looking for, that it's not fulfilling for me. Because I think that just, you know, when I was growing up, so often I was with people all the time and they weren't always great situations and I didn't have the time to change that. But it's interesting, too, though, that it sounds like there's a mistrust factor in there, too.
Correct. Yes. Yeah.
Now, are you happy? That's the simple question.
Yeah.
I am, and only because, you know, I see, like, for example, I live in an apartment, and, you know, some of the neighbors are fighting a lot, and sure. I
I sit there in my peace and quiet, and I'm like, you know what? I am so glad that I'm single right now, and I am not in a situation like that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's me and the dog. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Holly. How about you, Billy? How long have you been single?
I have been single for over 15 years.
Really?
Were you in a serious relationship before that?
Not really.
Wow.
Okay.
Not really.
So it wasn't like after a divorce where you like swore off getting into another relationship or anything like that. It's just something that happened over time, or did you make a conscious decision that you were like, I don't like people?
My last relationship was about a 2-3 year relationship. You know, it ended abruptly, and I just haven't been with anyone else since.
Wow.
And I feel like I've been single so long that if I meet somebody, I just don't want somebody that's telling me everything that's wrong with me. Like, I'm so used to being single, I don't think I know how to be in a relationship anymore.
It's necessarily untrue, right? Like, some people prefer to be by themselves because they don't want anybody else involved in their decisions. It's like business, Anna. Don't take on any partners. If you don't like to go ahead and do that thing where you got to huddle up and make decisions together, don't do it.
So if the right person walked in the door right now, would you make eye contact with them and move forward, or would you be happy with the way things are?
I would make eye contact with them, but I don't know if I would move forward. I'm open to dating, but not really commitment.
His recliner is going to stay right where it is.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you start telling me what to do, I'm out.
Got it.
Yeah.
And you said 15 years ago your relationship ended abruptly. What happened?
We got into an argument. She didn't call me. I didn't call her. And that was that.
That's weird. And there's no closure, and you never felt like you needed closure?
I mean, it feels like closure. It's been 15 years.
I didn't feel like I needed any closure.
I'm always fascinated by the people that can just one day decide that's it. And then you, like somebody that's been part of your life for years all of a sudden is gone, and you don't know what happened?
I mean, if that's your pattern of behavior anyways, at some point you just get tired of certain things or, you know, whatever. We just hope she didn't get hit by a train. But other than that, you know, I'm sure she's off having a regular happy life.
Gefilte fish is the most ordered food on Instacart in preparation for Passover and Easter.
Is that right?
Yes. I was like, what? Gefilte fish? Okay. That seems like such a strange thing to get ordered to get delivered to your home, right?
I'm not sure I've ever eaten it, to tell you the truth.
Me neither.
Yeah.
People are divided. 44% of people say it's disgusting, but that means that more than half of the people think it's great. So cool.
I guess, right? Good for you.
Also on the list of the most ordered foods in preparation for the holidays, matzo ball soup, lamb, and honey-baked ham.
Okay.
But, you know, thanks to DoorDash and Uber Eats and Instacart and all the rest of them, there's so many, you can have anything you want delivered to your home whenever you want.
One of my favorite commercials from the Super Bowl, because it had every single mascot, every single trademarked, you know, personality there running to somebody's house. I was like, this has got to be Instacart.
Yeah. Also in the news this week was that 12-year-old boy, he went viral because he had Burger King DoorDashed to his bedroom window outside his house. And then he was asked, of course, the most logical question of all.
Why didn't you just go downstairs and get an apple from the fridge?
Because a Big Mac's better.
Duh.
Wait a minute, but a Big Mac is McDonald's.
All right, McDonald's.
And we're talking about Burger King?
No, well, maybe it was McDonald's.
Oh, you had your signals crossed?
I'm
Big
sorry.
Difference to me. I'm sorry.
He regretted nothing.
It was really good. It was worth it.
Yeah, he got in a lot of trouble from his mom, who watched on the video cameras a strange man in the middle of the night, 2:30 in the morning, creeping across his lawn.
I can't even believe that. I mean, this could have went really, really bad. But I got to tell you right now, I don't care if it's Burger King or McDonald's. If they're at my window with it, I'll open it up.
Yeah.
He just figured out how to sneak into my house.
And it was the reason it's so logical. He was like, I was up all night playing video games and I got hungry.
Yeah.
So I downloaded the DoorDash and I ordered some food.
I got the money. Don't get in my business.
It's true. You can order some strange things now to your door at any hour of the day. I know my mom was sick and she had the flu and she kept saying that the thermometer had an absurd number on it. She was saying like it was 92.5. And my sister and I kept explaining to her that that's not a real thing.
Right.
The thermometer is broken. But of course, nobody wanted to go because she had the flu, because we were immediately going to get the flu, which I ended up getting anyway.
So you just let your mother suffer.
No.
You could put it in the front yard or something.
No, we Instacarted a thermometer to her.
Okay.
It's a new one so she could take her temperature.
Yeah.
And the fact that we even have the ability to do that.
It's very cool.
Right. So what is the most unusual thing that you've had delivered right to your door? Ryan.
My most random Instacart order, I would say I ordered a bottle of
Hennessy, some duct tape, and some Vicks Vapor Rub. And I know the person that brought it to my house was just confused the whole way over if they knew what was in that bag. I didn't think about it beforehand, but thinking about it after the fact, I'm like, it's got to be pretty confusing to deliver.
That is like a strange murder kit.
No, that's but if you get that order, you're like, I'm not going to this house.
I'm only going in daylight, and I'm bringing a friend with me.
And I'm leaving it right in the door and that's running right. back into the car as that's quickly right. as possible.
That's right.
Gefilte fish was the most ordered food on Instacart in preparation for Passover and okay. Easter. Then following on the list, matzo ball soup, lamb, and honey-baked ham.
Delicious.
12-year-old boy went viral this week because he had DoorDash McDonald's delivered to his bedroom window at 2:30 in the morning. We live in an age where we could get anything we want delivered to our home at any time of the day.
Yes.
Yes. What is the strangest thing you had delivered?
I used to work for like Instacart, DoorDash, and Uber Eats.
Okay, even better.
One day I took an order and it was at a pharmacy. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll go to the pharmacy. It was a couple of items. One of the items was like a big pack of So I brought it to the lady's house. It was a female's name. And she's like, please leave it at the door. It was a very awkward drop-off. I was afraid to be seen, and I didn't know if she wanted me to see her.
Okay.
No contact.
I mean, this is probably a grown-up person here, but somehow we're regulated back to being 12 years old and going into the drugstore for the first time yeah. up for a friend's dare.
It was just so awkward. I'm like, what is she doing? Who's in there with her?
Okay, now you got a lot of questions okay. that have right. to be answered. Yeah, those things should only be delivered in plain brown boxes.
What? Maria, what was your strange DoorDash order? We're looking in on it.
When I ordered breakfast from IHOP and then I ordered Krispy Kreme donuts also.
That's nice.
Yeah, that was, yeah, I mean.
That's girl breakfast.
It was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Girl breakfast.
It was the middle of the night. It was the middle of the night.
All right, well, breakfast is when you make it. I like yeah. that. What's your favorite at IHOP, Anna?
I don't know.
The bananas Foster?
No, it's like with the cinnamon ones, like the cinnamon bun ones.
Fresh and fruity?
Not the Rooty Fruity, fresh and fruity. Mm. No. Anything with like that tastes like a cinnamon bun, whenever they can put frosting on top okay. of anything, that's always was delicious.
I feel like they put frosting on all of it now, so I'm yeah. good with that.
Also, it's funny how at night, you all of a sudden you start making bad decisions. You're like, you know what? I need IHOP and I need Krispy Kreme right now.
Yeah, it's a double. It's a twofer. Yeah. It's a
and twofer. Then you get the bill and you're like, I spent $700 on these donuts. You know?
Doreen, what was that strange order you put in for DoorDash?
So I ordered a whole meal from a restaurant that shall remain nameless. Let's just say they're closed on Sunday. But I ordered a whole meal. It was me and my cousin. And when the DoorDash man got there, all he brought us was drinks. And we're like, now I know ain't no way I spent over $40 and all you're bringing me is drinks. Where's the rest of my meal?
But, I mean, did you have an explanation?
I mean, what yeah, what? Like, Chick-fil-A isn't just going to give you the soda if they're closed.
No, Chick-fil-A is doing their job. We know that.
Well, like you said, it closed on Sunday. It's got to be Chick-fil-A, right?
Well, of course.
True or false?
True.
Yes.
Right. Chick-fil-A is doing their job, though. Their drive-thru is impeccable. Yeah, so your driver ate he ate your meals.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what do you do at that point?
Oh, I definitely called corporate after, you know, I had to get my cousin off of him. Yeah, she wasn't too happy about the meal being missing.
She needed her waffle fries. Yeah, I get it. I mean, how do you show up if you're a delivery person without the food? What do you think is going
to
happen?
We once had, so I had a friend who was supposed to be coming to a party, and it was one of those parties where everybody was bringing something. He wasn't on the list. We weren't expecting him to bring something, but he was like, I'm bringing these cookies. I'm bringing them. And then he last minute couldn't make it. Shaheen, I'm talking about you because you always can't make it. So he placed a DoorDash order and sent it to us, but they couldn't find the house. They left the order at the stop sign.
What?
Yes. And took a photo of it and sent it to him and said it had been delivered there.
So weird.
And here's the thing. It wasn't even our street. We live on one road, and they delivered it to a street with a similar name across town.
Well,
and
nobody's going to get it. No one's eating those cookies. They're gone forever.
I mean, raccoons ate those cookies, I hope.
Right.
Somebody ate those cookies.
Yeah.
One couple.
At 28, he's still exactly the same.
I get what she's saying, and I mean, I'm not proud of it or anything.
One problem.
Marty is just one of those really picky eaters.
You decide the outcome.
I mean, I'm not going to not go out to eat with my husband, but I guess I don't really have a choice, though.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. The Couples Court is powered by Progressive. Progressive Commercial Insurance flexes to fit your business needs, from quick repairs to adjustable coverages and even payment options. Progressive Commercial makes it easy to get what you need. Quote today in as little as 6 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Mike and Erica. Erica, let's start with you. What's going on?
Okay, so we're currently getting ready to sell our house, and the real estate agent told us it would be a good investment to put $30,000 in it to, you know, get a better deal. And my husband doesn't want to do it.
Which is a common thing, right? A lot of times you go to sell the house, you put some money in, you can make more money. What's your big complaint here, Mike?
I feel like it's too much going on in the world and in the market right now to make that move. I mean, it's a real estate agent. Like, they don't know everything. Somebody will buy the house like it is. You know what I mean? We can save that money and put it towards something else. We really don't need to do it. We up still right now from what we bought it to where it's at. Mm. I just don't feel like it's a good move.
I mean, Anna, you as a realtor before and having just sold your house, I mean, you saw a direct result of this. You put money in the spots where it was recommended, and you got an incredible result. Worked out great.
We spent the money on the staging.
Okay.
Having the house professionally staged made a big difference. But I do understand that if your house has certain things that really should be updated,
yeah,
I can understand doing that for the return. And there's certain places where you'll get a return.
Yeah.
Kitchen and baths historically have proven yes, but how much money does she want you to spend on these renovations?
About $30,000, which I feel like is too much.
I tell you, when we bought our house, they had painted everything. They had redone the bathrooms recently. And you know what? It was a plus at the time, but we hated the colors. And so that left us in a situation where, you know, we didn't really love it. We would have loved the money back. The big thing for me, too, is the time and the inconvenience, right? Like, when you're doing a renovation, it takes time and it's inconvenient. And if you've got a bad contractor or whatever, that can be compounded. So that can hold up your on sale time or whatever. I'm imagining you want to be up the spring market, which is happening now. So I don't know. What is the right answer here?
I have no idea. And I'm curious if people have gone through this, what they think worked for them and what didn't. Would you spend $30,000 on renovations on your home before putting it on the market if your realtor was relatively certain you would be able to get it back? If you were looking to sell your home and the realtor suggested putting about $30,000 worth of improvements in before it hit the market, would you just go for it and do it and spend the money and hold your breath and cross your fingers and hope it pays off? Mm. Or would you just do the safe thing and sell it for what it's worth?
Yeah, Mike wants to get out of this house right now. He says, listen, somebody's going to show up. They're going to buy our house right now as it is. We won't have to deal with any of the headache, any of this problem. Maybe we make the money back. Maybe we don't. Why take the risk?
Erica says, if we can make more money by just spending some money now, why wouldn't we do that? Why? Just to be inconvenienced and have some construction happening at the house while we're here? What do you think? Jim, whose side are you on?
I'm on the wife's side 100%. After my father passed away, we sold his estate. And family member was complaining, oh, why are you putting these brand new air conditioners? Because it had air conditioners.
Yeah.
Updated the bathroom, and it didn't cost that much. It only cost like a couple thousand. You know, also I did some of the work myself, which, you know,
sure,
I saved $13,000 by painting it. And it sold for $301,000.
Fantastic.
And people were fighting to get it. There was like a bidding war to get it because it had everything new in it. The husband's got to realize, don't sell it quick. The realtor wants you to spend the time and the money, and they'll make more money too, and you'll make a lot more money.
The problem is, though, and the advantage here was, if they're selling their dad's condo, they're probably not living there while they're doing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're on their own timeline at that point. That changes things a little bit.
If your realtor asked you to put $30,000 in improvements into your home before it hit the market, would you do it if they believed that it was going to net you more profit in the end?
Mm.
That's the conversation between Erica and Mike. And Erica says, yes, let's just do it. If we can make more money, we could do it with a little bit of construction and putting out this cash.
Mike says, you know what? The realtor doesn't have a crystal ball. They don't know everything. Let's just get this done. Let's get this house on the market now and let's sell it, not deal with the hassle.
And what if we don't make the money back? What do you think? Mary, whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side. I feel like they want to get it done quickly. If he does, it's better to not put all the money into it. I'm actually going through this right now.
Mm-hmm.
It needs a lot of work, and we're just going to sell as is, and it's on the market. But it has been tough to sell, but I guess if you have patience and you don't want to spend all the money, that's a lot of money, $30,000. Just
sell it as it is.
You know, I mean, I think the money aside, listen, the investment is the investment, right? You either have the money and you're willing to do it or you're not. But I think that the time and inconvenience is the big factor. Sometimes you just don't have the headspace for it, and other times you do. Sometimes you want to cut and run.
But she said something very interesting. She said that it's been on the market.
Right.
This is a hot market right now. So if it's sitting on the market, maybe if that work had been done,
it'd be already gone. Ann Raven, who's this?
This is Chris Kaczynski, and I'm actually in construction. I'm calling for that court thing.
Yeah, there, Chris, what do you say? Whose side are you on today?
Well, I'm pretty much on the wife's side because, you know, from my experience, the realtors most of the time are right. If they tell you to do something, it makes a big difference in the selling.
I mean, they're seeing what's happening and the transactions happening on a daily basis.
Yeah, you know, like the market is so hot right now, but also the house looks nicer. It sells much quicker. I do that for my clients all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks so much, Chris. It brings up a good point. And even when I was looking at houses, all the unsexy stuff,
yeah.
If it has a new roof, if it has a new heating system, if it has new air conditioning, like we heard earlier, if those things are done, that's one less pain in the neck thing that I have to deal with in the future, which makes it more appealing to me as a buyer.
And those are expensive things.
Yes.
That's different than paint and tile and stuff like that.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Erica, our audience agreed with you. If you feel that you should do this because you're going to be able to make the money back and your realtor is relatively certain and has a proven track record of success doing this, go for it.
Exactly. If no loss, we're going to get the money right back. So it's really a win.
You know, Mike, this is your investment, right? So you only get so many times to cash in on investments of this size for most people. You really could do very well with the right advice. I would just say, you know, make sure that advice is solid again. And, you know, if they can show you numbers that you're comfortable with, then, you know, again, you might come out on the other end going, you know what, you guys were right, and I'm happy.
That's true. You know, it takes money to make money, so.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. It usually does. So.
Absolutely.
All right. If you got a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $1,200. Ahadu, you ready to play today?
I'm ready.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
You got it. Good luck, man.
$1,200.
Thank you.
Are you in a fight room, Ahadu? I just keep hearing yelling in the background.
I'm dropping my son off at school.
Oh, same thing. So the answer is yes. All right, here we go. All right, Raven can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in. He gets the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Ready.
Number one, Bill Gates says he's leaving his 3 children 1% of his fortune, which is still over $1 billion. He co-founded what company in 1975?
Microsoft, Apple.
Number two, some of the scientists believe that they may have found the remnants of Noah's Ark under a mountain in Turkey. According to legend, how many of each animal were there on the boat?
2.
Is somebody whispering in your ear? They can speak out loud. We like teams. It's okay.
That's my son, Lucas.
It's your son? He's doing pretty good. Number three, this tennis great and iconic sportswoman and activist just became the first woman to receive a Presidential Medal of Freedom, the Congressional Gold Medal, and as of Monday, a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Who is that?
Serena Williams.
Number four, it's National Siblings Day. Which 2 of the Friends' main characters were siblings?
Don't know that one.
And number 5, people around the world are spending less money on artwork than in history, down by 12%, but Americans are still leading the way in art buyers. Who painted The Starry Night?
Pass.
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
Let's go. 2 out of 5 for a how-do.
All right, not great. Let's see how I do.
What's your son's name?
Lucas.
Hi, Lucas. All right, here we go.
Hello.
Number one, Bill Gates says he's leaving his 3 children 1% of his fortune, which is still over $1 billion. He co-founded what company in 1975?
Microsoft.
Yes. Number two, some scientists believe that there may have been remnants of Noah's Ark under a mountain in Turkey. They may have found it.
I saw that.
I think it's fascinating. According to legend, how many of each animal were on the boat?
Oh, there was a pair that go 2 by 2.
That's right. Don't you want them to dig it up and then see if there's 2 by 2 animal skeletons?
I mean, I think that they would be able to tell that. I don't know.
I want it.
I'm a little bit torn on this. I'm not sure.
Number three, the tennis great and iconic sportswoman and activist just became the first woman to receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the Congressional Gold Medal. And as of Monday, She earned a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Who is that?
That's Billie Jean King.
Billie Jean King. And number four, it's National Siblings Day. Which two of the Friends main characters were siblings?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Ross and Monica.
Yeah, didn't know that.
Number five, people around the world are spending less money on artwork than in history, down by 12%. But Americans are still leading the art buyers. Who painted the Starry Night?
Oh, it's that one that's on, what's his name's notebook. Is that Van Gogh?
It is Van Gogh.
Look at me!
How do we
with
beat
an
you?
Assist from Stephen King.
He, it's art, Raven. It's not a book.
Stephen King, he asked Stephen King for an idea, and Stephen King was like, I like the sky.
It's 4-2 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt. You can give it to Lucas. Sound good?
Sounds great. Can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time, you guys. $1,300 tomorrow, Anna. Enjoy that shirt, Lucas.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at freestylelibre.us.